Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we keep on bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And this is Diaspora Discuss. We bring Nigerians in diaspora closer home. And our next guest is Mr. Titus Olowokere, President and CEO, U.S. Nigeria Trade Council in the USA. He is, like I said, the President and CEO of the U.S. Nigeria Trade Council, President Emeritus of the Alliance of Nigerian Organizations in Georgia, and Director of Administration of NICO, an organization that facilitates the economic development of Nigerians and their communities in the United States of America. Mr. Olowokere has held a succession of increasingly responsible roles in engineering, information technology, and sales and marketing. He has served as the Regional Capability Area Lead, Database Technologies at Accenture, a leading systems integration and technology consulting company. All right, if I go ahead, we won't have time because this is so much. Mr. Olowokere, welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. I was just reading, you know, your resume, and I said, if I continue, it's going to be. All right. I said to the last guest, when we talk to Nigerians in diaspora, there are three compulsory questions we ask. The first one is a double-barreled one, which is, kindly establish your Nigerianness and your sojourn abroad. Why did you leave Nigeria? Just give us a little bit of background, you know, where you were born, which schools did you go to, and of course, you know, just to establish your Nigerianness.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. I was born in Nigeria, but I was born in Ilesha in Osun State. Okay. I grew up partly in Ilesha, partly in Lagos. Went to Igbobi College. I attended the Ilesha Grammar School and University of Ife. Obafemi Awolowo, now they call it, and I did electrical engineering. I started working, I got a job while I was in my final year in college, in university, and I started working in UAC. I also worked in General Motors and in John Olds before I came to US.
That's the same family now. John Olds, GM Motors, it's one big family.
Actually, John Olds is a different conglomerate from UAC. UAC at that time owned General Motors, which used to be Federated Motors. Mm. And UAC and John Olds were like the two big conglomerates in Nigeria at that time.
Yes. I know because I
worked. So I came to US about 20 years ago, and it's been a good ride since that time. I've been privileged to meet a lot of Nigerians, so hold some privileged responsibilities. Then and even now, so I'm a proud Nigerian, and I'm proud to be talking with you today.
Yeah, I can see because in your bio and the things I've read about you, you are passionate about, you know, creating opportunities and avenues for Nigerian enterprises. But before I go into that, so why did you leave Nigeria? You were doing well. John Olds is a big, good company. GM Motors is good. You know, well, those are fantastic companies of way back then.
Yes, that's true. But see, migration is part of human existence. We move across different countries at different times. We are migrants by nature. A lot of Nigerians, a lot of Americans have also moved to Nigeria, different other countries. So it's an inherent human nature, number one. Number two, there at that time, probably even now, there were some opportunities I identified in the U.S. at that time that I was not in Nigeria, and I thought it would be an opportunity to get to know the world better, to expand my horizon, you know, to be more global in orientation, and that was actually my driving force, curiosity, expansion, and knowledge growth.
Okay, so that's what everybody tells us, but, you know, the number one reason why Nigerians migrate, in my own assertion or my own assessment, is more for economic reasons from the people that I will speak to, especially in the diaspora. Is that true and same for you?
No, I must emphatically say no, that's not true. I mean, not in my case, and I don't think it's in everybody's case. That might be a dominant reason for a lot of people. Even during the mass migration to US, that was a dominant reason why a lot of them immigrants from UK to US. But besides a one-directional flow to US. Interestingly, every American that's migrated to Nigeria has also been for economic reasons. They had the business advantage. There is an opportunity they need to explore on. They have some investment they need to grow. So it goes both sides. So it doesn't. It's not a reflection of Nigerian being economically disadvantaged. It's more of a reflection of finding your own level within your space.
Okay, from your experience, and this is something that I know you are in a position to really answer or analyze for me. If you look at the US, which is big, you look at the world in general, you must have encountered quite a lot of Nigeria. If there's one big export, forget oil, that Nigeria has for the world, some wise man told me that it is human capital. Is that correct?
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. The cream de la cream, unfortunately, of Nigerian intellectual sector, I think it's been the largest export to US, in fact to the rest of the world. In US today, I always tell people, and it's true, there is hardly any sector of the economy of in US you don't find Nigerians playing active roles and playing leadership roles. There is hardly any hospital you go to in US you don't find at least one or two Nigerian medical doctors. Even the current administration appointed a Nigerian as one of the economic advisors when he became office. Same thing with the previous president, President Obama,
True.
appointed one or two Nigerians in very high places. Up till today, the Director General for the Obama Presidential Library and Foundation is a Nigerian. So, and these are Nigerian either by immigration or by natural birth. So it confirms that point you just made, that the largest export of Nigeria is the human capital, way more than the oil, and with more potential than the oil export from Nigeria.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to just stay on this a bit because, from a marketing communications perspective, I've been looking for that unique selling proposition, that unique selling point for the Nigerian nation that we can say to the world, come, we are abundant in this area. And I think we just found it. And if government would listen to us, it's something that we should be able to package. Just like I was saying to Dr. Buma Douglas, for me, I think it's more of brain gain than brain drain. What do you think?
Yes, if I can say one or two words to that
Go ahead,
also.
sir.
The good thing again about Nigerian the Nigerian the human capital being the largest export and the most valuable exports is that Nigerians are very intellectual. They have huge learning potential, huge learning capability. They are not the run of the mill. They're not the routine immigrants America is used to. And that's why a recent survey that you are also very aware states that Nigerians in the US are not one of the most educated, but the very most educated, the most intellectual immigrants group in the US.
Correct.
That's huge. That's huge. And that's something that we should be proud of. And the good thing about these exports, unlike the oil or other things that we export, is that these have residual potential. And they also have a boomerang potential in the sense that these immigrants who have made America great also have that capability to make Nigeria great. So it's a win for Nigeria.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go now into the organization that you lead, the U.S. Nigeria Trade Council, which is a group of U.S.-based international business leaders with professional and technical accomplishments in both Nigeria and the U.S. From my findings, you have strategic presence in Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Houston, Chicago, Lagos, and Abuja. So where are you based, really? Where are you based?
I live in
Oh,
Atlanta,
you are
Georgia,
in
which is
Atlanta?
in the
Okay,
southwest. Yes, right. I'm in Atlanta, yeah.
that's my base. That's my base. Cobb
Oh,
County,
really? Great.
yes, Smyrna, Cobb County,
Yeah, I live very close to Cobb County. I live in Paulding County.
Okay, you see? Don't worry. On my next visit, I'll make sure I touch you and reach out to you. All right.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I'll roll out the red carpet.
Yeah. So what are the objectives of this U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council?
Yeah, thank you. The U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council, as you earlier alluded to, is an organization that's designed to help Nigerians grow in the entrepreneurial field, to help in the development of our business acumen, to help the American business community see the potentials in Nigeria, and to also help the Nigerian businesses imbibe the huge market opportunities in U.S. We want to help Nigerians in U.S. We want our getting together, our collaboration, to go beyond the social life, to go beyond the rice and beans and the pounded yam that we have as social function.
If you didn't mention pounded yam as an Ijesha man, I wouldn't.
See, that's good as it is, but we need to go beyond that. You know, a lot of opportunities are in America. A lot of businesses are here. The market is so huge. Government provides lots of funding. They provide grants. And even recently, the Prosper Africa program of this current administration has allocated about $60 billion to promote trade and investment in Africa. So these are things we can take advantage of. So what we do as an NGO is to make Nigerians and Americans aware of these opportunities across the aisle, establish handshake, and let us grow in our business endeavors from Nigeria. Let America also look more to Nigeria as the source for most of their raw materials. So we need to go economically. No country does it alone. No country does it by itself. It's always an interchange of transactions. That's why it's called a transaction, involving more than one country. So these are areas we need to play so we can all fulfill our aspirations of coming to U.S. and we can, like we say in Yoruba, kere kodele, as it were.
Yes. But
we need to take advantage of the economic benefits of our sojourn in the U.S.
Wow, that's interesting to me. But how much of a success have you recorded in this engagement or in this activity?
Yes, we've had some great successes. We have organized several conferences and seminars, both in person and online. We've been able to bring together a lot of investors, and they've shown a lot of interest in coming to Africa, coming to Nigeria. We've been able to showcase several small businesses in Nigeria to export into U.S. to identify more uptakers for their products in U.S. And recently, we organized an export-import seminar in Atlanta, and it actually took place in Atlanta, New York, and California to help the American business community see the export potentials from Nigeria. And we've been able to get a couple of deals, and this has been going on, so we feel excited about working together on this. And also, we work very closely with the U.S. Commercial Counselor's Office in Nigeria. A lot of inquiries to the Commercial Counselor's Office, they direct to us, so we're able to help a lot of Nigerians that want to grow their business tentacles in the U.S.
Oh, that's fantastic, but it looks like you don't do much publicity in Nigeria. Nigerians will be excited and happy, you know, to know that there is, you know.
Actually, we do. We don't go on the radio and TV.
I know.
We're
it's
not a business venture. It's more of an NGO to promote. But one thing we do is we have close collaboration with several chambers of commerce in Nigeria. NASIMA, for instance, the Nigeria Chamber of Commerce and the Abuja Chamber of Commerce, and even Odua Group. So we deal directly with the business community through the Chambers of Commerce. And that's a very productive rather than having a mass appeal to every Nigerian.
Okay, I understand that, but it's not going to stop our partnership. Your partnership with Spirit of Nigeria Radio is not going to stop it.
Absolutely.
I can tell you this. I can say this. Spirit of Nigeria Radio was really birthed in Atlanta. And I tell you, because when you were speaking, I could just see myself in that day, sometime in October 2019 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was asking, Is there a Nigerian radio station that caters to the needs of the Nigerians in Atlanta? The answer I got was no. I did some survey, some research, and a lot of Nigerians got interested. I said, oh, it would be nice. But on my way back, something said to me, if I was a pastor, I would say God said to me, that, okay, do you know what? Instead of Atlanta, then you say later I go do Eastern. Why don't you do an online station that all Nigerians all over the world can log on to? And that is how Spirit of Nigeria Radio, you know, birthed. Because there is that information gap. There is that, you know, positive narrative that we need to give to the world, which we are fulfilling right now because of this. Okay, you know what?
Absolutely.
Now, one more question before we go on a short break. And as an Ijesha man, I'll play you something from an Ijesha man. Just keep it. But before then, okay, now, so the U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council, do you ever come on, like, trade missions to Nigeria, you know, where you bring, you know, investors or businessmen to come and see, you know, to come and meet, you know, Nigerians who also want to invest or have things to offer, you know, the businessmen in the U.S.?
Yeah, thank you. We have organized about 2 trade missions from Nigeria to U.S. And just before the pandemic came, erupted, we applied one from U.S. to Nigeria. Of course, we had to postpone that at that time. But yeah, that's something that's on our radar. It's going to be our next step. We're going to resume that drive to have a transmission to Nigeria. And we're going to partner with a lot of organizations there to make that happen.
Yeah, because there are quite a number of U.S. Businesses of U.S. origin in Nigeria who can facilitate some of these things. Being an NGO, I understand also some of your limitations in terms of funding and all of that. But those companies who you have, you know, I'm sure they can finance it. And I'm sure they have financed some or they've, you know, supported in one way or the other. All right, our conversation next will be about Nigerians now in the U.S., what they're doing. Are they doing good businesses? Are you supporting them? And, of course, we talk about the Nigerian nation itself. That will be when we come back after playing something from your countryman, Ike Daro and Ijesha Man. This one is admonishing you that while you are in the U.S., Feso Jaye. Alright, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and this is Diaspora Discuss this beautiful Sunday afternoon in Nigeria. And of course, we've been talking with Mr. Titus Olowookere, President and CEO U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council in the USA. Of course, he's an Ijesha man, so I decided to play something from Anijesha. So, all right, how are you? Of course, I mean, if you listen to that music, very admonishing. All right, Professor Jaye, you know, Igbaolobi Orere, which is what a message that we should be telling and saying to Nigerians in diaspora, take it easy, take it easy. And which will lead me to my next question or the next line of discussion. Now, Nigerians, a lot of us are doing well out there, but there are some that are not doing well. This image of Nigeria as a negative, or called the negative image, the negative narrative, you know, about the Nigerian nation in the diaspora, how does it affect the activities of the U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council, and how do you think we can solve this problem?
Well, thank you very much. First of all, let me mention that this negative perception of Nigerians in the U.S. is a miscategorization, and it's really wrong. It's a misnomer because there are bad eggs in every country of the world, not in a particular country. In U.S., there are a lot of bad eggs. There are a lot of those who do crooked things, who manipulate things, who forge documents, who manipulate bank records and do all sorts of crazy things. Unfortunately, people speak more about Nigerians than others. A lot of the 419, so-called 419 deals in U.S. are not even perpetrated by Nigerians. A lot of them are done by Indians in U.S. A lot of the phone calls have been traced to Canada and many other countries. But somehow, it came that every 419 is referred to Nigerian. That is not true, number one. Number two, regardless, this perception notwithstanding, we are forging ahead to position Nigerians properly in the U.S. to help Nigerians redefine the Nigerian identity in the U.S. We challenge every Nigerian to live up to their roots, to their values, to do honest work, and to take advantage of opportunities here in the U.S. Yeah, no question about it. There have been a couple of Nigerians who have been involved in questionable deals, in credit card fraud, and Medicare fraud, but they are not in the largest number. They're a small minority. That's what we're helping Nigerians and everybody else in the U.S. to understand. We are not the devil that we are painted. If anything, we are more in the angel zip code than the devil zip code. We are achieving great success in this. We work very closely with the Nigerian Consulate in Atlanta, in New York, and with the embassy in the U.S. and the ambassadors to help Nigerians redefine themselves and be worthy ambassadors of Nigeria in the U.S.
Okay, yeah. So, but do you have occasions or instances where you know, you get this rebuff or this rejection?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm saying, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me? All right, maybe we need to reconnect. All right, just hold it there. We're still talking to Mr. Titus Olowokere, President and CEO, U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council in the U.S. He is a committed community organizer and has nurtured the alliance of Nigerian organizations in Georgia. Of course, a non-profit organization, which is ANOG, as the umbrella organization of Nigerian community that caters for the collective interests and represents the single unified voice of all non-profit Nigerian associations in Georgia, USA, across communities. All right, Mr. Olowokere, are you still there?
Yeah, we're back. We lost connection.
Yes, yes. Okay, it's one of those things. So I was just going further into, you know, your resume just to bridge the gap there. Okay, so now I was just asking, you know, do you find, you know, some resistance, some rejection, some rebuff from U.S., you know, businesses, you know, organizations because, you know, this is a Nigerian organization?
Yes, we do. Like I was mentioning before, we got lost connection. We look at that the perception of Nigerians as foreigners or fraudsters or whatever is a miscategorization. It's a misnomer, because every single country in the world have some good elements and bad elements. Even here in the U.S., some of the hardest criminals in the world are here. None of the bank frauds committed in this country are not even by foreigners. A lot of the phone calls people say are 419 calls don't even emanate from Nigeria. Some of them are from Canada, some are from Indians. When you listen to their accents, they're not Nigerian players, for goodness sake.
Correct.
Unfortunately, we just have this perception. Now, be that as it may, we make every effort to help Nigerians to portray a positive image of their country. We work very closely with the consulate offices, with the embassies, to identify opportunities where Nigerians will find value for good work. And interestingly, like I mentioned earlier, almost every sector of the American economy has the presence of Nigerians. So we're actually doing more good than bad. We are more in the angel zip code than in the devil's zip code.
Yeah, I heard that part of it.
Also, we're helping Americans appreciate this, number one. Number two, the American business community, definitely they want business advantages and business interests. But that has not stopped American businesses from investing in Nigeria. All they do is make sure they do their due diligence when dealing with any business community, whether Nigerians or Ghana or wherever else. So the big companies in America, the GEs of this world, the General Motors of this world, they still invest billions of dollars in Nigeria. So we're not going to allow that perception of Nigerians to limit our business endeavors, and our activities to promote Nigerian products, to promote the economy, and promote Nigerian businesses in the U.S.
All right. So, like I was saying earlier, let's move into something that is a bit more, concentrated on Nigeria. Let's look at our country, Nigeria, 60 years down the line. How have we fared, in your opinion? And what is, the contribution, or what can the Nigerians or Nigerians in the diaspora, what can they do to contribute more to nation building or national development? People like you, I can see you've worked in IPNX, you've worked in UAC, General Motors, John Holtz. You are there in the U.S., you are not here in Nigeria. But of course, you can still, contribute. So what is the structured way or structured manner in which, or structured approach in which this can be done? Because if we say Nigerians, are one of our greatest assets is human capital, how can we deploy that human capital, to build the nation?
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me take one step back a little bit to give a bullseye view of this topic. You mentioned Nigeria has had independence for about 60 years. That is true. Now, nation building does not suggest a failed nation or a failing nation. Nation building is a work in progress phenomenon. And it's a dynamic progress in constant need of nurturing and reinvention. There is hardly any country in the world that's fully built. There's no fully built units. True. America, China, they are continuously in progress. They never stop. So a true builder, a true nation builder, never rests. Number one. Number two, nation building goes beyond governance or governments. It goes around the full cycle of governments, of economy, accepted rules, norms, principles, and things of that nature. Now, how do we build a nation? In our case, how do we build Nigeria? We don't build Nigeria by complaining about things going wrong.
True.
We don't build Nigeria by staying away and just folding our arms and saying, I'm never going to that country again.
Correct.
That doesn't build the country. So, first of all, my recommendation has always been, the change starts with you. The change starts with me. Little pebbles from the ocean make a mighty mountain. When you do your part, just do the best you can, live an honest life, do honest business, be a good and worthy ambassador of your country in anywhere you go. That itself is contributing to national building the nation. Number two, for some of us and others have been privileged to even go back there and build the nation building. You can contribute by developing industries, suggesting ideas, working in the background to make things work. For instance, I had an opportunity to work on the technical working group for business environments, trade, competitive advantage, and process space marketing. This is within the Ministry of Finance and Budgets. Mm. This group includes about 20 professional Nigerians, most of whom are professors. They come together and they define a template, a work plan. Where should Nigeria be in the next 2 years, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years? How do we get there? What are the obstacles to getting there? This group and many other groups of this nature are fine-tuning the very fabrics of national building. That's number one. Number three, that we can also do on the general notice, not to speak ill of our country.
Yeah, positive,
any country that you are.
Positive confessions, yes. Positive narrative.
We should have a positive mental attitude. They say the proverb in my country that the white pulp comes from a black pot.
That's true.
And the fact that you have a black pot heritage would not make you less of you cannot, because of your success in life today, despise your background, your roots. So these are so many ways. So these are some of the ways we can contribute to national building. And at the end of the day, we are making ourselves proud as individuals beyond even the country. You live a better life where you are, and the country benefits from it, and posterity benefits from it.
Okay, so does your organization have a direct relationship with which organizations in Nigeria do you have direct relationships with, like Nigerians in the diaspora, in Diaspora Commission? Do you have relationship with them? You talked about the budget ministry.
Yes.
Now. Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned that. We overlap with the activities of both the Nigerian diaspora concepts and the business concepts of Nigeria. On the diaspora side, we have a diaspora initiative where we relate directly with the Nigerians in diaspora, Nigerian Diaspora Commission, led by Honorable Abike Dabiri, who, by the way, has our birthday today. We also work directly with the Minister of Foreign Affairs. When the bill for the Nigerian Diaspora Commission was was in the House, we make strong advocacy to passing this bill. We made representations to the House, to the Senate, and to the Presidency to pass this bill, to establish the Nigerian Diaspora Commission and create that entity to cater for the interests of diasporans, to help diaspora Nigerians find their way back to Nigeria, or at least contribute directly or indirectly to national building. On the business side, we work very closely with the Chambers of Commerce in Nigeria, like I mentioned earlier on. We work closely with the Nigeria NASIMA, which is the National Association for Chambers of Commerce, Industry, Mines and Power, and Mines and Agri. We work closely with the Nigerian America Chamber of Commerce, the Abuja Chamber of Commerce, and many other chambers of commerce. We have established collaboration with them to exchange information, to promote bilateral trade, to promote trade missions. So these are the areas we have played on both the diaspora and the business community. But we have this same central focus to build a virile US-Nigeria trade axis.
All right, and shortly you will be getting into partnership and collaboration with Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
I believe we are looking forward to that.
Yes, we'll work that out. No problem, because that's why we're set up, really.
And
yeah, go ahead.
And let me also mention this. You have a very powerful platform for information dissemination.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you do in life. It doesn't matter how good you are. If people are not aware of your capabilities. They're going to patronize you.
Exactly.
Sure, a good product sells itself, but it needs to be out there to be seen.
That's
so
true.
You have a very powerful platform here to let the world know about the potentials of Nigeria, potentials of Nigerians in the diaspora, and the huge opportunities that American community, in fact, the global community, can benefit from Nigeria. There's hardly any country in the world you don't find Nigerians. And that's why you come into the picture to help Nigeria tell the story. And
that's exactly,
story
that's exactly the point.
By the Nigerian.
Yeah. That's the gap that we're attempting to fill, or we are filling, so that one doesn't sound immodest, because we need to give out the positive narratives about Nigeria. And Nigerians are always
absolutely,
you know, they're always excited to talk to us. They want to come back home. They don't like it, you know, going out there. They are constrained to going out there, you know. Even if you go out there, not for, you know, a long while. After some time, everybody is tired. They want to come back home. They want to be with their family. They want to be within their own environment. So we see that we have a role to play, and that's why we would like to partner with organizations, you know, that have, you know, Nigerians, you know, under them, and we can just reach them directly. Anyway, that's a matter for, you know, behind the scenes discussions. And we are very happy as we are talking to the President and CEO of U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council, USA, Mr. Titus Olowookere. All right, now let's look at Nigeria itself. Now, let me ask you a tricky question. What exactly do you think is the problem with Nigeria? Leadership or followership?
You know, this, interestingly, we had this debate a couple of days back with some very powerful Nigerians.
Really?
And I insisted that I stood my ground, and I still stand my ground today. The problem is not about followership. There's no way. The problem is followership. The major issue we have in Nigeria that everybody has identified is the leadership. Leadership, because things cascade downwards. The rain doesn't fall and it doesn't. The rain doesn't rise up. The rains fall down. The sun falls on you. The sunlight falls on you. You don't beam a light to the sun or to the moon. It's always in that direction.
Yes.
And this is very, very much in practical terms. We talk about corruption in Nigeria, for instance. We are unfortunately famous for that, and we've made quite a space in that. But look at what happened in Singapore, in China, in some other countries, when the leadership not just denounces corruption, but actually practices that denunciation by punishing any level of corrupt officers. It will send a message down to the followers. They will take a cue from it and take a step back. Some time ago in China, a senior officer of the government was not just fired. I think he was either sent to jail or sent to death by firing, to death, because he was corrupt.
Yes.
In Singapore, a very senior government official who happens to be a relative of the president was fired and jailed because he received bribe from others. That sent a message to everybody that, look, if the president could fire his own cousin, we're going to sit up. But in Nigeria, if the leadership is not there yet. Okay, look at what happened in Ghana, just right next to us there. I'm not justifying what happened, but the results show differently. When Rawlings came to power, he got rid of all the previous heads of states. It made everybody sit up. This guy means business. And today, not just because of that, but because of some other factors, the economy of Ghana has swung from one extreme end to the other end of the pendulum. Those were years where Ghanaians moved to Nigeria and doing odd jobs. Now the table has turned. When corruption was attenuated in Ghana, when it was strongly reduced, everybody sat up and the economy grew and allowed them to flourish. So back to the question again, it's the leadership issue that we have in every segment. In when leaders show their patriotism, when they show their devotion, their commitment, their unrepentant nationalism, others will take a cue from them and follow suit. One more thing. Remember the time when we had this war against indiscipline in Nigeria?
Yes.
he came from leadership. We had a strong-willed Idiagbo as part of the leadership. And it came to a point, he would punish anybody that didn't stay online to join a bus or whatever. It came to a point that Nigerians will now naturally line up when they're taking a bus.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid of punishment. So in this world, there's going to be a reward system and a penalty system. Again, back to your question, if the leadership is upright, the leadership is sincere, the leadership is consistent and firm, the followership will follow the same line.
All right, leadership is consistent and firm. Followership will follow the same line. Let's take a short commercial break. There's some of my friends in Atlanta who want you to listen to this, and then we'll continue and wind down our conversation.
Sending money to Nigeria? ZingaPay, is it? ZingaPay is not just a money transfer platform. Sending money to Nigeria through ZingaPay gives you multiple benefits such as reduced fees for money transfers, Naira mobile wallet for speedy and efficient local Naira transfer and bills payment plus an Axam Ansard mutual fund investment account with attractive returns. So while sending money to Nigeria, you enjoy additional benefits of savings and investment with our mutual funds investment account in the ZingaPay Cooperative Society program. For more details and to register, log on to www.zingapay.com or send an email to zingapay@zingapay.com. Don't just send money to Nigeria. Imbibe a savings and investment culture with ZingaPay. ZingaPay. We make your money work for you.
For your mouth-watering, delicious, and tasty African meals in Atlanta and environs, it's got to be Fat Fine Dining Restaurant. Our African soups, dishes, and specials have no match in our territory. Order an African meal today from Fat Fine Dining Restaurant and enjoy that original African taste. Fat Fine Dining Restaurant is on 3565 Austell Road, Suite 1059, Marietta, Atlanta, Georgia, next to Austell International Farmers Market. Telephone 770-431-8505. Visit www.fatfinedining.com to order right away.
Fat Fine Dining Restaurant.
Enjoy the African in you.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We are conversing with Mr. Titus Olowokere, President and CEO, U.S. Nigeria Trade Council. And of course, he is a committed community organizer that has nurtured the alliance of Nigerian organizations in Georgia. And that's why I felt we should recommend Fine Dining Restaurant to you somewhere in Austell, you know, by the Austell Market there in Atlanta. And of course, ZingaPay.com, money transfers to Nigeria. All right, Mr. Olowokere, thank you for joining us today on Diaspora Discuss. We've been talking in the last almost 45 minutes now, if not more. All right, how are you? Are you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's wind down now. Give me your recommendations, you know, in the areas that Nigeria as a country is lacking. We've talked about leadership. What are the other things that we need to do, you know, that will make your NGO work easier?
Well, that's a very broad question.
Yes.
There are many areas that Nigeria can still play. Apart from the leadership, leadership means if there is nothing to lead, if there is no resources to manage. And that's one thing we desperately need to improve on in Nigeria. We are a mono economy. we deal mostly on oil. Oil accounts for probably about 93% of Nigerian foreign reserve. We are on a dangerous economic war right now. Why? Because the Nigerian budget is mostly based on revenues from oil. As of the last count, at the beginning of this year, it was based on a $38 per barrel base price for oil. And that was used to calculate the budget. During the year, the value of oil dropped significantly at a point to about $1 a barrel. So that messed up the entire budget forecast. And they had to recalculate the budget to get something reasonable out. Globally, the oil potentials as source of energy is reducing. Now we're focused on alternative energy. We have driverless cars going on. We have solar-powered cars. So dependence on oil is reducing. What I'm saying in too many words is we need to grow the economy beyond oil. We need to pay more attention to other sectors of the economy that have huge potentials to generate income. A country like Dubai, even Japan, most of the revenue they make in recent times is not even from oil. It's from tourism, you know. Some make most of the revenue. A large area of U.S. is agro-based economy. And some could be mines and power. But the good thing is that we have endowments of all these natural resources in Nigeria. So we need to grow the non-oil economy more aggressively, beyond the rhetorics. We need to actually invest in sectors. We need to improve on our healthcare sector. We need to improve on the energy sector. When we have, see, growing is not just one, it's not a one-directional thing. It's a collection of enabled environments. So what I'm saying is we need to grow the non-oil economy. We need to improve on areas where ordinary people like you and I can play. Not everybody can have oil blocks, but almost everybody can farm. The traditional was of the African yes. Development Bank once mentioned that in the next 10 years, agriculture will account for most of the revenue of almost any country in the world. So if you need to invest safely, go to agric. You can't go wrong in agric. Bottom line, we need to develop the non-oil sector in Nigeria for Nigeria to be truly great and for Nigerians to have things they can put their hands on. It's going to be a win-win for everybody, for the country, for our countrymen outside the country, and for other countries that depend on Nigeria for the natural resources and for to power their manufacturing plants.
Yeah, well, I hear you loud and clear, but I'm surprised you didn't mention the issue of security or sometimes insecurity about the reconfiguration of the security architecture of Nigeria. I think that
yes.
It's very critical to some of the issues that are on ground.
I didn't mention that because security is a peripheral issue. It's something on the boundary. It's not a trade sector. I'm talking about things that can generate revenue, generate foreign exchange.
I get you. You know, you said the question was broad, so I thought...
Exactly. It's really complex, but I'm focusing on what can actually bring in money.
I get
not just to Nigeria, but to Nigerians. When you have the money, as you go along, the peripheral factors will line up and you can make them good.
All right. It's been a very, very, very great time with you here, Mr. Titus Olowoke, President and CEO, U.S.-Nigeria Trade Council in the U.S., and, of course, a proud DJ Shaman. And I'm not surprised you are doing trade because, you know, Ijesha people, they say, Ishumalo. All right. Thank you very much for being a part of Spirit of Nigeria Radio's Diaspora Discuss this Sunday. But just one more last word or your summary or summation of our conversation today, something that Nigerians in the diaspora and even in Nigeria listening to you can take home today.
Well, I would say Nigeria is the largest economy and the most populous country in Africa right now with about 190 million people. This is expected to grow to about 400 million in around 2050 or thereabouts, and that will make Nigeria the third most populous country in the world after China and India, even ahead of US. So this shows we have great potentials ahead of us. Our economy will boom. We're going to add value to the world. Regardless of the structural weaknesses we might have now, deficient transportation, security, but Nigeria's economy will continue to grow. We need to be part of growth. We need to make a difference in our respective fields. We need to take advantage of these opportunities. We cannot be bystanders. We cannot be onlookers. We cannot be complainers. We have to be part of the solution. So each person must play its own role to make Nigeria great. And ironically, as you plan to make Nigeria great, you're making yourself great too. So it's a win-win. So we need to look beyond the present. We need to look at what is ahead of us. We need to look at how we need to get there. We need to think outside the box. And we need to start charity from home. So my challenge is, let each person begin the change with himself or herself. Let's look beyond the present and look at the great, what's ahead of us, and be worthy ambassadors of Nigeria anywhere we are. And I think we have that great potential. I have hope in Nigeria. I have hope that we have this resilience among us. I'm confident about the never give up spirit of Nigerians. Nigeria is not just an entity. It's made up of you and I. So it takes individuals to make a national difference. So let's do our part. Let's keep on going. Let's strive it. Let's keep on marching. And we're going to get there, either in this generation or a future generation. But let's start with you and with me.
Thank you very much, Mr. Titus Olowookere, President, CEO, U.S. Nigeria Trade Council. Thank you and thank you and thank you very much for that positivity, that optimism, and that positive narrative about Nigeria. Thank you. I'm sure when next we call on you, you will be very kind enough to give us audience again on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Thanks a lot. It's been an absolutely great time with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate you having me, and I look forward to seeing you again.
All right, let me give you something, you know, a remix of Ike Dairo by Some Popular Dairo, and I'm sure you can, you know, relate to this. That is what is going to take us to the top of the hour, and we'll be back with Real Talk with Lola, the Nigerian South African-based psychologist, who tells us about how to cope and live abroad. And think today she has a guest who is a high-fly in Nigeria running business, you know, somewhere in the world. All right, Mr. Lowe, thank you very much for being a part of the show.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
The remix, believe it or not. The remix, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. This is how it should be done. Cause this style is identical to none. How can it make you dance?
Come on.
BD, that's what you came
here for.
Right?
All
right.
Baba, Oluwa, omo de ba dupe ore ana.
Shorty.